It's time to Talk It Over, starring Diane Diamond, Lee J. Berman, and Louise Palanker. Give us a call at 888-531-7171. Email us at talkitover@gmail.com. Join us online at talkitoverradio.com. Because we're ready to talk it over.
Hello and welcome, everybody. We are Talk It Over, the radio program solving the world's problems two people at a time. You got a problem with someone? Well, we are here to help you talk it over with that person. I'm Diane Diamond, journalist, columnist, all-around news hound. With me, professional mediator Lee J. Berman, ready to give you advice that he usually charges. What, Lee J., an arm and a leg for?
Just that one arm, one leg. That's about all. That's
just
about
a couple
all.
Of fingers. During these economic times, you got to, offer good discount prices. What?
And that crazy lady there is the one, the only astute student of human nature, Louise Palanker. Hello, Louise.
Oh, yeah. Hello, DD. How are you doing?
I'm good. You've been traveling. How was your travel?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Florida and back. I was there. I was in Palm Beach, which is next to, I was in West Palm Beach, and it turns out Palm Beach is a whole different thing. You take a series of bridges and you get to this place where no one goes, and it turns out there's no spring breakers there.
Well, that was probably a good thing.
Yeah, no
need to talk it over with anyone about, the loud noise in the hotel room next door or anything.
It was great. I just didn't know that there was a place in Florida that had no spring breakers during spring break. So we found some manatees kind of washed up on the sea, and they were the most plopped out things we saw. So,
Lee J., anything more exciting than that, my friend?
Oh, my goodness.
Are you going to top that?
No, heck no.
Go ahead, try.
I can't top flopped out manatees.
Who could? Who could? Well, let's get right to it this week. You know what? I think we don't talk politics on this show, really, but I have to mention something that President Barack Obama did this recently that I thought he really missed a talk it over moment. He had his very first online town hall meeting, and like 100,000 people sent in questions via email in advance. And there was one question that kept popping up over and over and over again. Well, give a listen, and then we'll discuss.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. And I don't know what this says about the online audience, but... But I just want, I don't want people to think that this was a fairly popular question. We want to make sure that it was answered. The answer is no, I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy.
But wait a minute, that was it? I mean, that was a real talk it over moment, don't you think?
I
mean,
no, because I think what was going on was that the same stoned guy kept asking that question over and over and over again.
Instead of going for the bag of Fritos, he just kept emailing in the same question.
Yeah.
Well, that may be right. But this was a guy, Lee J., who during the campaign and in his autobiography admitted to having a little toke or two. I'm not advocating anything here, but don't you think he should have talked it over more?
Well, you know me. I think everybody should always talk things over, and you get a more fruitful discussion when you do. I think he was trying to send a message to the American people who were worried about him being too liberal here, that he's going to be more moderate. But I can't imagine a talk it over moment like, hey, dude, we should legalize pot. That would be great for the economy, wouldn't it? I mean, I understand that there's logic behind it. We could tax it and, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, we could tax it and regulate it, and people would be hired to grow it. I mean, it would be a job creation program.
It would increase food sales, snack sales.
Now you're talking, Louise.
7-Eleven
exactly
should get behind and lobby for this. That's what they should do.
But I'm kind of a liberal gal, but I'm completely opposed to the legalization of any illegal drugs.
Could that be because you go with a man who works high level in the district attorney's office?
No,
Louise?
I think I was kind of like this before I started dating that prosecutorial individual. I just think that this drug is illegal for a reason, and I'm not a proponent of legalizing any illegal drugs.
It's funny. Their argument, I think, is that alcohol also blurs your senses, and tobacco is more unhealthy for you, so they say. I don't know if there's science that, that backs this up. So they're sort of saying, why doesn't it, you know, fit in between those two in the paradigm? It's no worse for you than alcohol, and it's no, and it's healthier for you than smoking cigarettes.
I would like to illegalize cigarettes. That's how anti-drugs and tobacco and alcohol I am. I just, I hate all that stuff.
Well, one of the things I think that we need to understand about our nation is that the way things like that get talked over tends to be between lobbyists and lawmakers. And yeah. I don't think that, that the American public on the internet asking President Obama about legalizing marijuana, I don't think that's what's going to get it done as much as we like to think that that's how our democracy works.
Yeah, and the politicians are talking about it with the lobbyists over big fat steak dinners and big bottles of wine. Now, I just thought it would have been a great time for him to come out. You know, I write a syndicated column on crime and justice every week, and he could have come out and on the side of law and order and said, you know, look, no matter what my admissions in the past have been, I'd like to talk this over with you, the American people. We have laws against this. And right now, the law of the land is it is illegal. Some states it's a misdemeanor, some it's a felony, but that's why we could never entertain this, people of the United States. And he didn't say that. I was a little disappointed. I don't know.
Well, I think he was, you know, he was erring on the side of safety. And, you know, although I am definitely anti-legalizing illegal drugs, I do have friends that smoke pot. I'm a comedian. So,
no.
So in no way, you know, am I saying that it isn't. I'm not saying it's heroin. I'm not saying that it probably is safer than alcohol. It maybe it is less addictive and less destructive, but I think that the way that would impact society, we have no idea. And these things need to be thought through very carefully before you just say, hey, good idea, let's legalize pot. It's not that. There will be a ripple effect. It's not that simple.
I think the one other variable here has to do with state versus federal government. And your small government folks, mostly the Republican side of the argument, want to see a small federal government. And you have states like Oregon, who I believe has legalized marijuana.
Really?
And I believe so.
It's just a small misdemeanor now.
Okay.
Very small.
All right. And California, I think, legalized medical marijuana with a prescription and things. And the federal government says, no, it's illegal. So this is a state versus federal issue because there's a bit of a power struggle going on there. And I think the president probably wanted to stay far away from that.
Yeah, well, I write a lot about legalizing drug laws and how many drug law people are clogging our prisons when really all they did was smoke a little pot. And anyway, we could talk all about that, but let's move on here.
Okay.
We've all heard the other big story that's been in the news recently about the death of Natasha Richardson.
Yeah.
Was that the saddest thing?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A ski trip with her kids, you know, a simple fall on a bunny slope, and in a few hours, she's dead of a brain hemorrhage. But this is what I wanted to mention, you guys. That lesson, the media talking about what happened to her helped a family in Ohio recognize a problem with their little girl. She'd gotten beamed in the temple by a baseball, and she was okay for a couple of days. Her name is Morgan McCracken in Ohio. But all of a sudden, as the parents are watching a story about how Natasha Richardson died, their little girl starts complaining of a headache. And they say, uh-oh, baseball, temple, couple days ago. They rush her to the hospital after talking it over with her. What do you feel? What's going on? And do you know that little girl had a brain hemorrhage? They saved her life.
Wow.
It's amazing. And it's just great that they were able to pick that out of the news story and put two and two together that fast as parents. I mean, just from your child saying, I've got a headache, that they put two and two together with the beaning in the temple and figured out that's what was going on. This is amazing. I was actually with a friend when he had a brain hemorrhage. We were at a bachelor party. We were over on Catalina Island. We were playing softball and everything. We were being rowdy and getting ready to go out for the evening and hoot it up a bit. We all jumped on a golf cart, which is what they drive in Catalina Island, into town. He falls off the golf cart and lands on his head, but he's lying there on the street and was bleeding a little bit from his ear. One of the guys with us was a med student and said, call 911. They airlifted him in a helicopter back to the mainland. And, you know, they literally had to cut back his scalp and and get rid of the hematoma that he had. And,
oh my gosh.
But he was perfectly fine within a day or two. And thank goodness that somebody knew what to do. Because, I mean, for me, I'm watching a guy lay on the ground with blood coming out of his ear. And I wouldn't have known what to do other than, like, you know, that looks pretty serious. Let's call an ambulance, perhaps. But yeah. It's great that Morgan's parents were that alert and put that together and probably saved your life. It's a wonderful story.
Yeah, and so many times when people are hurt, it's hard to talk it over with them. That their first reaction, human reaction, is to get up and say, no, I'm fine. Really, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just have to sit them down and tell them you're going to the hospital.
Right. Yeah, you got to talk it over with them. Nobody wants to be a wimp or whiny or hypochondriac, but by the same token, those are the people that actually get the care when they don't. And the ones who end up having serious issues when they could have been nipped in the bud sooner are those who don't want to talk it over and those who are stoic and macho and all of that.
Like
sort of
Natasha
thing.
Richardson.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. She had said, I'm fine.
Okay, that's so sad. And I hope we all learn from that. We're going to go to the phones. Matt.
Yes, next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Kelly. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Kelly, are you on a trampoline? You sound so happy. Hi.
I'm excited.
Awesome.
I love you guys. Y'all are amazing.
Are you a spring breaker? What's going on?
Spring breaker? No, not really. I'm actually about to go fishing right now.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to know what's going on with you, Kelly. How can we help?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, here's the deal. I live with my roommate. I have to go outside. I don't want to.
I'll call her later and tell her everything you say.
I live with my roommate, and she has a bit of a cleaning problem, and I don't know how to approach her with it because I'm very nice, but I mean, it's getting to the point where there's roaches and it's getting it into my bedroom. Like I find roaches in my like actual bed sheets.
Ooh. So she has a lack of a cleaning problem.
Oh yes. Yes, indeed. She does. And I don't even know how to, I've told her, I'm like, can you know, and she's just
so in other words, Kelly, you live with a slob and you want to know how to talk it over with her. Have I got that straight?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think a lot of people will say, hey, you know, it's my room and, you know, I can do whatever. But what they don't recognize is like when you leave food wrappings and debris behind in your room, then it affects all of us because that invites all kinds of rodents and vermin and what have yous. And it does. It's not just your room at that point. So I think if you can pick up enough stuff to actually find her, then you need to, you know, just let her know that what she's doing isn't just affecting her. And it sounds like you're.
But what are the words, Lee J?
Lee J is going
to
find the words, but
I'm going to jump right deep into it, Kelly.
Okay.
You said the most important thing I heard you say was I'm really nice.
Yeah.
And that tells me right there that you're being a little too accommodating with her and a little bit too gentle with her and a little bit too indirect. Have you sat her down directly and had a one-on-one conversation with her and say, look, there's a problem here. We really need to face this.
Yeah, I have. And she has a little boy too. And I understand that, but she's like, well, you know, then she just gets an attitude. And I basically told her, well, I'm paying rent. I'm not paying roaches rent.
Yeah.
I'm not paying, you know, I'm paying to live at this apartment. I'm not paying to have roaches in my bed and crawl up my leg every night.
Ew.
So, you know, and she just kind of walks away. So I just don't know what to do anymore.
All right. So when she walks away, what I think you've got to do is say, you know, wait, come back. Let's sit down for a minute. We really need to talk about this because I can't live like this. So we have to make some changes. And I need to know that you are willing to play with me here and make sure that we do this. Because if not, we're going to have a bigger problem. And I don't want to have that.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's about as far as I'd go with an ultimatum. I wouldn't give her any other or else. I would just say, look, this is grossing me out. I can't live like this. I really need your help. And then see what she says.
Okay.
Do you think that'll change it?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I'm nice, but there's a type of, you know, it comes to the point where I won't be nice anymore.
Well, what if she says, I was just going to say, like, what if she says, you guys, yes, we have a problem. There's roaches in my bed now. What would you suggest we do?
Oh, good. Good Louise.
Oh. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. And the other thing is I would set it up as a serious discussion, Kelly. I mean, you've tried to talk about it informally several times. I think what you've got to do is say, can we talk for a minute, and sit her down at the kitchen table or dining room table or whatever you've got and say, we need to have a serious conversation. And so preface it that way so she knows this isn't something she can walk away from. Sit her down, make sure that you're there just to have the conversation.
Absolutely.
But
and you know what, Kelly, I'm kind of the mean ogre one of the trio here. I think it's okay after you do that. I think Louise and Lee J have given you really good advice, good talking points here. After you do that, I think it's okay to give yourself permission to just move out. I mean,
absolutely.
You know,
that's what I'm
you might want to say to her, if we can't come to some sort of agreement here, I'm going to have to move out because I can't live like that. That's your ultimatum conversation down the road. But do think of that because she, you know, if she's a slob, she may not change.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Yeah, and I can't go to, because we have mutual friends, so I can't be like, oh, you know, so-and-so is, and then they'll be like, oh, well, did you hear that Kelly was blabbering? This all comes back to me,
you know,
and I'm
what?
Just like, okay, well.
You're very smart. You're very smart to not, because I, you know what, how many, who, raise your hand if you've had this where you, you know, we do use our friends to kind of get stuff off our chest, and then it gets back to the person, and they come at you with the, why didn't you come to me, and why do you go around behind my back talking about this? If you got something to say to me, say it to me. I mean.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand, yeah.
And that, and I
oh my God,
hate
seriously.
That, because it's like I didn't come to you because I was trying to find out from my friend how to say it to you. So,
right, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
I know.
Well, my age group these days, I'm 23. And, you know, it's just dirty looks. If you give someone a dirty look, it's automatically, you know, fighting words. And it's just, it's sad, you know. And I'm just like, oh, well, I didn't look at your boyfriend, or I didn't look at you that way. I don't understand why you're, you know.
But you know what? So. Here's the thing, Kelly. You are at that age where you're learning how to figure it out, and you're learning how to communicate. So God bless you. Good for you. And let us know how it goes. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, honey.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Now she's going fishing.
She's
hey,
so cute.
That was a good call.
Yeah.
You're listening to Talk It Over Radio. You are listening to Talk It Over Radio. You can join in the conversation with us. Come on, connect with us. We're here to talk. We're here to listen. We're here to help you understand how to better communicate with those in your world. Our number is 888-531-7171, 888-531-7171, or email talkitover@gmail.com.
Talk It Over is sponsored in part by the American Institute of Mediation, where leading mediators turn to continue their learning and career development.
You are listening to Talk It Over. We have the answers. I don't know if we have all the answers. We've got some really good answers, though. I've learned a lot just being on the show with you guys about how to speak to the people in my life. So,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know what? We do have a very interesting email that's just come in. This is from Lester in Lake Havasu, Arizona. I so feel for this kid. Listen to this. I'm 20 years old. I've always had a weight problem. I have my own apartment, but still spend time at my parents'. After work the other day, I came into their house through the back door, as usual, and I overheard my mother and her friend from next door during their cocktail hour talking about me. My mother said something like, "Well, he'll never be skinny, that's for sure," and she kind of snickered. I'm devastated. It's no secret that I'm fat, and I am constantly trying to do something about it. But to hear my own mother say that just cut me in the heart. Do I say something to her? Do I try to talk it over? Or do I just forget it?
What a great email, Lester. I think based on your email, you've got to talk it over with her. She's your mom. You have to let her know how you feel. You have to let her know you overheard it. Tell her what you think you overheard, because I know you said it sounded like she said something like. So get some clarification around that and make sure that you heard what you think you heard. But also tell her how much it hurt your feelings, that it's something you're sensitive about and that you're working on and that you want her help with.
You go, "Listen, wrinkly old bat, I am not that fat."
No, Louise, might cause you
okay.
problems.
What
honey.
Else, Lee J, could he try? Because that is just cruel. And I, you know what? I've heard from so many people that have overheard their parents or walked into a room and had them introduced like, oh, well, you know, she's not the pretty one, or, you know, just I've,
yeah.
Especially because they go into comedy, so I know these people.
Yeah.
But why are parents so unbelievably judgmental of their own children?
Let's talk to the parents first. If you're a parent out there, you've got to realize that your opinion of your child is always going to be the most important thing in that child's life, whether they admit it or not, whether they're willing to say it is or not, it right. is. And you have to recognize that whenever you're talking about your own children, there's a risk of being overheard and of shattering them, because it's your approval that they look for.
And I'll tell you why I think it is. I think it's because parents see their children as an extension of themselves, and that if the child is fat or if the child is lazy, that means I wasn't a good mom. And they see it as a reflection. So they're kind of trying to talk about it with their friends as if, well, I don't approve of him being
right,
fat.
Right. I don't want you to think I condone this.
That wasn't my idea to have a fat son. And it's just so selfish.
Yeah, it is. It's the parent's ego not wanting the child's lack of success or brilliance or weight or whatever to reflect back on him. It's terrible. But Lester, you've got to sit her down. You've got to have the conversation with her. And the way that I would start is, Mom, I got to talk to you about something that's really important to me. I think I overheard this the other day, and it's just been weighing so heavy on my heart. I can't believe you would say this about me, but I'm not even sure that I heard it right. So can we talk for a minute? And at that point, Mom will be coming to his rescue to help her 20-year-old baby boy.
I think he has to say something. It hurt him so much that he's reaching out to total strangers, us. Although we're not strangers, you can hear us every week right here.
We're very friendly.
But you know, it is bothering Lester to such a point where he shouldn't let it fester. He's got to say something. Yeah,
hey, but fester rhymes with Lester, so no.
Lester
still
fester.
Not good. Okay, we're going to go to the phones.
Yes,
Matt.
I've got to break in. We've got an important one here. We've got Teresa on the Talk It Over phone line. Hello, Teresa.
Hi. How are you?
We're very well. Thank you for calling, Teresa. Tell us what's going on with you and how we can help.
Oh, okay. I'm a senior gal, and I'm in a hydro fitness class 3 times a week at the Y in the pool.
Good for you.
The water aerobics,
Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful. And I'm tall and 5'10", tall and slender. And for hydro fitness to be any good, you have to be in the water, like up to your neck, up to your chest. So I go to that end of the pool or the area, and there's these 2 or 3 men who've been coming there a while, and I've been going now a couple months, and they don't like it that a woman has invaded their area of the pool, and most of the women are smaller and like older than me, and they're all in the shallower area, and so they sometimes kind of block me or kind of maneuver me so I go where it's too deep because I can't swim.
This is making me mad.
So
I'm mad for you.
I hold my own. Mm-hmm. I've been holding my own. I just like just look them right in the eye and just keep doing my exercising. When we do crossovers, you walk across the pool.
Right.
That's when they kind of get together and to block me.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't want to whine to the management. I just want to exercise.
You know, you could bring like a water polo ball with you and just chuck it at them.
Conk them in the head.
Yeah. Like if you're going to play, you know, like where there's a defensive team in this water aerobics, then I'll headbutt you.
Seriously, I think you have to say something to them, even if it is simply to look them in the eye and say, what are you, 12 years old? You know, we're all taking this course together. We're all paying the same money. I'm as tall as you. Get out of my way.
Yeah.
Lee J's going to tell you something
Diane,
different.
Can she say it more nicely than that? Can she say, hey, it's a big pool. There's room for all of us. Come on, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to step out. Here's the deal. There are 3 phases that we're always in, in as adults. We're either in adult mode, where we're being grown-ups, or we're in parent mode, where we're trying to boss somebody around or manipulate them by controlling them, or we're in child mode, where we're being whiny and asking for help and manipulating the way a small child might.
Right.
These guys are are being in parent mode. They're trying to say, hey, little girl, this is our part of the pool, blah, blah, blah. And yeah. What Louise just did was a perfect example of moving into an adult space and not engaging in their game and just saying, hey, guys, come on, give me some space here. Knock it off. And just being above that fray, don't let them drag you into it. I think it's kind of funny, though, that they have assumed that it's a gender separation in the pool rather than a height separation. And you could even call them on that. If they say anything to you, like, you know, you're an R end of the pool, you can say, hey, I'm taller than you are. I think you should go down there at the short end of the pool and have some fun with them.
Yeah. I think I'll try that.
I like that.
I think we're all in agreement that you have to say something. And yeah. I think your last resort would be to go to the teacher in the class and just say, you know what, I'm down there and these guys, and could you just keep an eye out for me because I might need some backup. I'm going to say something to them today.
I'll try something like that.
And Teresa, you have so many tools in your arsenal here. I mean, another thing you could do if somebody gets in your way and cuts you off in the walk across the pool or something, you could always say, hey, don't make me dunk you. And you know, have some fun with them. You know, I mean,
that would surprise them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But just make it light, because then they'll realize, okay, we can't, you know, she can take it. We can rib her a little bit and she's one of us.
Yeah, because humor, you know, I think can be really helpful. Everyone's coming to this class to get some exercise and to interact with other people. And I think humor could be really helpful here if you don't get too proud and you just have some fun with it. Like, hey guys, you know what? It's a big pool.
That's the better way to handle it.
I think so.
Teresa, have some fun with these guys. I mean, after all, you're good for you for working out, for getting in the pool as often as you are at the Y, and stand up to these guys, have a little fun with them, and soon enough you'll win them over.
Great.
Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing that with us, Teresa. We really appreciate it.
That was a good one.
Take care.
I don't think we've ever had a water aerobic senior citizen talk it over problem.
No, we haven't. That's a first. But, you know, I would like to see water aerobics as a full body contact sport. I think that that could be very entertaining.
we've got another senior writing in on the Talk It Over email line here. This is Beverly in West Palm Beach, Florida. Hey, that's
there.
Right where you just were.
Yeah. Beth, did you see me?
Did you pass her out business cards for the show?
Anyway, so here's what she writes. We don't have a huge house, but it's big enough that my husband and I have a hard time hearing each other if we're in different areas or if he's on the outside lanai area. Mm. We've been married for 40 years now, and I guess our hearing is not so great anymore. So I bought my husband a walkie-talkie set for his birthday so we wouldn't annoy ourselves yelling at each other. Now I'm sorry I did. He uses it to pester me all day long. I'd like to, quote, lose his half of the set. But I guess it's better if I just talk it over with him face to face. What do I say besides, shut up, Harry?
Well, you say over and out.
Yeah. Breaker, breaker.
Well, what I think is funny is she gave it to him so that she could contact him when she needed something. And instead, he's made her his servant. Could you bring me a glass of water? Could you bring me my pills? Could you bring me a peanut butter and jelly?
What are you doing? Where are you?
Yeah.
Come in here.
Oh, yeah. My father used to do that to my mother. My father would sit down in front of the TV to watch a football game or something for 3 hours. And my mother would be buzzing all about the house with all of her projects. And he was always going, hon, what are you doing? Come in here. Sit next to me. And she'd sit for like 10 minutes and go do another project. And all he wanted was her company.
It reminds me of when you give the patient the bell upstairs.
Yes.
And they don't stop ringing the bell. Could you scratch my back?
Yeah.
Fluff my pillow.
Could you bring me that magazine? So, Lee J, what does Beverly say to Harry short of shut up, Harry?
You know, Harry, I love hearing from you, but, you know, when you can't see what I'm doing, sometimes I'm in the middle of things. And, you know, if you need something or if you've got a quick question for me, it's great that you use the walkie-talkie. But I need you to know that it's becoming a little bothersome. I'm in the middle of stuff and I'm having to put down what I'm doing to pick up the walkie-talkie to say what so that you can tell me what's on the television set or something.
I have a suggestion. You put term limits on it, like you're allowed 5 walkie-talkies a day. So he'll ration himself out and he won't abuse. Yeah.
I like that one. You know, in my house, the big thing, we have kind of upstairs, downstairs, kind of big house. My husband has started this thing. What? What? That is my,
in
now my hideous
syllables.
Word in the English language.
I like
hideous.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, we are Talk It Over. We are the radio show that helps solve the world's problems two people at a time. Join in the conversation because we really listen. 888-531-7.
If you'd like to be part of the Talk It Over family, call 888-531-7171 anytime or send us an email to talkitover@gmail.com.
We are back with Talk It Over, solving the world's personal conflicts two persons at a time. It's going to take
so
a while, but we'll get to it. We'll get to everybody, please.
Just
line up and
we'll put you in line.
Be orderly, yeah. Please. So what
you
else?
You know, you can also, we should tell folks that they could also call our phone number, 888-531-7171, anytime during the week, and just leave us a message. We'll play your voicemail on the air, and we'll tell you what the heck to do with your life, right?
Oh, we enjoy it.
We do.
And we will. And we will. So what else is going on, Diane?
What do you got for us, Diane? What do you got for us?
I've got another email here. This is from Susan in Boise, Idaho. Boy, we've got people from all over today. Arizona, Idaho, Palm Beach, Florida. What does Susan write? Let's see. My son-in-law and I don't get along. We never have. I don't like the way he ignores me when I speak to him. He refuses to look me in the eye. Ooh, I don't like that.
Is that because she's
and
on the phone?
I'm never outwardly rude to him. Inside, I've just been seething over the way he dismisses and disrespects me. Our daughter is now expecting and wants me to help her shop for the necessities and get the nursery ready. I would love to do that, underlined, but it means I'll have to be around him more often. Maybe I should have said something to him about our relationship a long time ago, three years ago when they first got married, but I didn't. Now I feel like I must. Who do I talk to about my feelings, though? My daughter or him? And what do I say?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think, because I don't know that everyone can subscribe to this, but this is what I recommend for this type of situation, is that obviously you guys got off on the wrong foot, and it's going to take one of you to change the dynamic of the relationship, and I would recommend that you go around acting like he just said the nicest thing in the world to you. No matter what he says to you, you respond as if he's just been superbly kind and gentlemanly, and you just keep coming at him with positive energy and see if you can't transform him. Make that your project.
I think it works, because that's what Louise does with me all the time. It seems to work just fine.
Are you two fighting again?
No, never, never. Oh, this is.
Well, I don't know. I think probably a little discussion at the kitchen table with both the daughter and the son-in-law might work. Hey, listen, I know with the baby coming, I'm going to be around here more often. At least I hope I would be welcome. And look right at him.
Oh, that's so victim-y.
And pause until he has to look up and look at you and respond.
You know, there's too many vacuums here. There's too many blanks that everybody's jumping into and filling in with their own guesses about what's going on. Mm-hmm. He may not know he's disrespecting her. It may just be the way he deals with people, and she may be taking it personally. We don't know if she's hypersensitive. Sorry, Susan. Mm-hmm. By the same token,
that's going to hurt her feelings if she is.
That's just 'cause why does that radio host keep treating me so badly? On the flip side, Susan has to sit down, and this is her chance to restructure the relationship with him. She's got to sit down with him, clear the air about how she's feeling. And a friend of mine did this recently in the most artful way I've ever seen, where he said, "This is about me. It's not about you. I reacted to something that you did in a way that's made me feel very hurt. And I just need you to know, not so that you'll change anything, but because I value our relationship and I want you to know how much it means to me. And when you did this thing, you probably don't even know it, but my feelings got really hurt, and I just need to tell you about it." And boy, at that point, I was so disarmed. I'm like, oh my gosh, what did I do? I mean, this is a guy.
What did you do?
Oh,
it's a long story.
Oh my gosh, Lee J.
But this is like the nicest guy in the whole world. He's like a grandfather to me. I adore this man. And I'd hurt his feelings and didn't even know it. So it's possible, Susan, that he doesn't know, your son-in-law doesn't know that he's hurt your feelings. So the first thing you've got to do is tell him in a way that sounds like that. And then say,
make it about you.
Make it about you. And I want to build a relationship with you that's different than how it's been for the last 3 years. I want us to change this. I want to show more respect to you. I want to feel more connected to you. And I need you to know that I feel this way by the way that you treat me. And I don't know if there's something we can do to change how that works, but I want to be closer to you. And I think this is a one-on-one discussion between Susan and her son-in-law that shouldn't involve the daughter, because Susan needs to take care of it one-on-one, person-to-person with the son-in-law and begin to build that relationship from that kernel of that first talk-it-over moment.
Okay, but you don't think that she should first tell her daughter that she's going to be having this conversation?
Before or after, I don't think it's as relevant, because the truth is it's about her relationship with him.
I know, but that's her daughter and that's her husband that she's going to engage in this encounter with.
Maybe she'll just notice that they're getting along better.
I think she should tell the daughter she's going to do it in advance.
It's okay with me either way. Either way.
Okay. You know, the daughter is pregnant. She's all hormonal.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's better not to include her. I don't know. I just believe in, you know, saying it like it is and talking to everybody in the room. Yeah. If they don't like it, they'll walk out. Right?
Regular listeners are shocked to hear that.
All right.
Good advice for Susan.
Go to the phones.
Next up on the Talk It Over phone lines, we've got Courtney. Hello, Courtney.
Hello. Hello. How you doing?
Hey, Courtney. How are you? What's going on with you and how can we help you?
I'm doing great myself. How about you guys?
We're very well. Thank you.
Yeah, I was calling in because, you know, I was in a situation, well, not really me, but I have a friend, and she makes very little money, and she got herself into a situation with a guy, you know, and she stays in a room. She really has nowhere to live, and she stays in a room, and she pays for the room every day, so she has little money, and he's living there with her, and he puts his hands on her, you know, he fights her and beats her up. She comes to work with a black eye, you know, and, you know, and I don't see how she can do it, and I don't know how I can get her to understand that that's just not the route to go, you know, because it's very dangerous for a female to be in a situation like that, you know.
Yes,
so I don't know
yes.
how she can escape from that situation, you know, and I would like to know how I could help her, what I could do. I know it goes on with a lot of females around there, you know.
Right.
You know, Courtney, there are a couple of things. One thing that you can do is find some resources for her. There are shelters, there are intervention kinds of people around, and I would find a couple of battered women's shelters and sit her down and have a conversation. I have a brochure or have their address or something written down and sit down and say, I'm really concerned for you. This is great language. My concern for you is that this is going to get worse. My concern for you is that you're putting up with something that's going to end up hurting you really bad physically one day. My concern for you is that you're not seeking help. And
you know, the thing about it, look, she's gone now. She moved away with him. And I keep a little contact with her. She called me every blue moon. You know, I have a contact number for her. So I'm just hoping, you know.
Well, I also want to add that you can throw all the resources that you want at a woman who's in this situation. But they usually stay because they think they're in love. I don't want to call it love because it's not love. When someone's putting his hands on you in that way, but they think they're in love and they rarely take anyone up on any suggestions, including police with pressing charges, etc. So what is the language? I mean, we all recently watched the Rihanna and Chris Brown situation and we just ached for her. But what is the language that Courtney can use to let her know, you know, I love you and I can't bear to watch you being hurt and being in harm's way.
Yeah, I didn't realize she moved away, Courtney, and especially with him. I think the next time she contacts you, you've got to say, look, I got to tell you, it's really weighing heavily on me since you moved away. I'm really concerned about you. I want to make sure that you're safe and okay. And I want to see you get away from him because you deserve to be treated better. And I didn't like what was happening when you were here. And now I'm really concerned that you're gone. And really lay it at her feet that not that she should do something different, but that you have this grave concern for her, because that's something she'll respond to. People who are in abusive relationships, the abusees, if you will, they don't look out for themselves, but she'll knock over buildings to get to you if you're hurt or feeling bad, Courtney. So make it about you and have her come to make it better for you. Does that make sense?
And you know what, Courtney, if I could just jump in here, I have, as a longtime crime and justice reporter, I can tell you I've been to a lot of stories about a lot of women like this who they, for some reason, as Louise says, they just can't help themselves and they don't want to change the situation.
Right.
I can hear in your voice that you're really frustrated with your friend. Sometimes you have to do your best and then you have to just walk away because it is, after all, her life. I know that sounds really harsh, but sometimes there isn't anything you can do. You can talk it over with her, let her know you're there for her, but it really is up to her.
Right.
And Courtney and Diane is so right. At the end, when you've done everything you can do, you have to be ready to let yourself off the hook and say,
right,
I've done what I can do. It's out of my control. You know, the psalm or the prayer that they do at 12-step meetings that says something about control what you can control and let go of those things that you can't control.
The wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah, and the wisdom to know the difference. And this is one of those where your concern for her is admirable. Your desire to help her is wonderful. And I hope that you can, but recognize that once you've done it all, you have to let go.
And that she'll come when
appreciate
she,
it.
She'll come to you.
Well, good for you for calling, Courtney. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing
good,
that
good
with
luck,
us.
Good luck.
Really appreciate
She's
it.
Lucky to have a friend like him.
Yes, absolutely she is.
Yeah.
You know, if we have a quick moment for a quick story. A long time ago, when I worked at the television show Hard Copy, I got a story about a woman who had, she was homeless, and three other young women took her in, and we tried to help the woman, and we did. She got her veterans back pay and she went back to her family, and you know, it was kind of a feel good story. But because I had entered this woman's life, I was always in her life, and every time she had a problem or a setback or her dog died or, you know, whatever it was, there she was calling me, almost demanding that I fix this too.
Oh, see,
you know,
that's the thing
I,
about helping people, you can't do for them. You have to do with them. Mm-hmm. You have to help empower them to help themselves. And that's the hard part, because we want to jump in, we want to help, and we see, gosh, I could just do A, B, and C that takes no effort for me, and that'll solve this person's problem. What it doesn't solve is how they get themselves dug out of that problem.
Teach a man to fish.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you from personal experience that it feels really good when you start to help someone who is in desperate need. I mean, this woman had amnesia in the beginning, but then after a while, boy, it can weigh you down. And I can tell that that's what's going to happen with Courtney if he doesn't learn to step back. Yeah. Anyway, you're listening to Talk It Over Radio. We're solving the world's problems two people at a time as fast as we possibly can. Come on, join in our conversation. We will listen to your problem, give you some real good common sense advice. 888-531-7171 or email us at talkitover@gmail.com.
You know, Diane, we've had some great emails today. Have you got another one there in the Talk It Over Gmail box?
I surely do. Boy, people are really writing in today. This one is from Marge in my hometown, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Oh, that's cool. Let's see. She writes, my husband and I both have jobs, but not very high paying jobs. So we're both trying to start our own businesses on the side. Mine is homemade baked goods. His is a carpentry design firm. The problem is my husband is a great carpenter, but he continuously calls me into the garage where his workspace is to help him with blueprints and design ideas. I'm glad to help and encourage him, but I'm trying to concentrate on my own business, and I don't want to constantly have to go in and help him. After all, I don't call him in to measure my sugar or my flour for me.
So this sounds very, very dangerous if she gets the wrong kind of nuts in her recipe. Or bolts. No, go ahead.
Well, Marge says that she's her patience is wearing thin, the constant interruptions. I want to talk to him about it, but he's struggling, and I want to make sure I say the right thing so he doesn't give up on this business idea.
Hey,
so,
you know, leave me the you know, blank alone, I think is the right, you know what, hammer away and saw and chisel, but I'm in here baking and you're being a pest.
And whatever you do, don't give him a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking, LJ. You know, so with all these husbands bugging the wives.
He needs a coworker or an intern, because he's just getting excited about what he's doing and he wants to share it.
Yeah. And yeah, he does need someone to talk to. So here's what Marge has to do. Marge has an opportunity here where they can help each other in a really productive way, but structure it. Say, you know what? Here's what let's do. Let's break for lunch like we had real jobs in a real office or shop or something every day at noon. And let's sit down over lunch. I'll make you lunch, honey. And let's sit down over lunch. And you can run your ideas by me. I'll ask you about marketing ideas or something for my business.
That's
a good idea. We'll brainstorm over lunch each day and then go back to our own work and do our own thing. So there's a receptacle, there's a container to hold that discussion for an hour while they're eating and relaxing. And it's great to stop the right brain linear logical thinking that you do in business all day long and have an hour that's very left brain creative, brainstormy, to shift gears, because then you're so refreshed when you go back to the running of the business in the afternoon. So this is a structure, Marge, that will give you ideas from him to the extent that you value them, allow you to give him the ideas he needs from you, and not have him bugging you between, you know, 8 and 12 and 1 and 5 or something like that.
Diane.
No, I think that's a good idea, except how come she always has to make the lunch?
If it'll shut him up.
Just gonna get sawdust.
She's the one with the problem, that's why.
Yeah, but no,
but I
want to
add,
that's a good idea.
I wanted to add, too, that you know what, everybody? Know how you work best. Some of us are really solitary workers. We want to get together, you know, for an hour for some brainstorming. And then we really love just kind of cubbying away and just kind of plowing through it. And some of us are extremely collaborative and we can only work when we're in a team. Yeah. You know how you work and then fulfill your own needs in that department and don't spill it into the other person who works in a different way.
And talk it over with him.
Yeah.
Let him know, Marge, this is how I need to work. And it would help me if we could structure something like this instead. But explain yourself to him so that he understands you, because otherwise he's going to assume that you're just like him and you love, hey, Pop, an idea just came into my head. Come in here. Let me show it to you. Let me get your opinion on it. And if he's that spontaneous and you're not, you got to explain yourself to him.
Because he's the guy that when you're both reading side by side and he reads something great, he reads it out loud to you and he doesn't.
Hey,
doesn't.
I do that with my wife. She's reading the paper and I interrupt her 27 times. Wait, hey, let me read this to you.
And so, you know, we all work differently and just be aware of that.
It's true. We do.
All right. We're going to go to the phones. Matt, who's there?
Next up on the Talk It Over lines, we've got Leroy. Hello, Leroy.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi, Leroy. How are you doing? What's going on with you and how can we help?
Okay. I moved to Denver, Colorado a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And jobs have been up and down, but I'm a contract salesperson.
Okay.
The current contractor that I'm with right now, we started out without a contract, and now they want to do a contract.
Oh.
Yep. The person they find that they hire to be the in-between or the middle manager has never worked in the field, has never worked in the industry.
Hmm.
And if you read the contract, it sounds good until you get to the industry because it's for ink cartridges.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to sell a lot of volume to make any money.
Right.
Well, they want you to go out and collect all these quotes, machine histories, and pay you very little for that. Point being, if you worked your butt off for 40 hours, you might make $200.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. And
can't live in Denver on that.
No, nobody can live on that. Of course, they're hiring, like, new people, and they're telling them all they can make $500 the first week. And they know I'm their top producer, and I can't make $500. So the question is, do I go to the guy that owns the company and sit down and say, hey, look, just be realistic. You know, this is the reality. I've talked to him a little bit. He kind of gets swayed, but his second person or the go-between sways him back. Or in this market, should I go look for something else? Because there's a great potential to make money if they were realistic on their approach.
It sounds like a little bit of a Ponzi scheme to get people in with the promise that they're going to make $500 a week when even the guy at the top of the pyramid isn't making that. Doesn't it sound like they're being very misleading?
Yeah, they are. But Leroy, it sounds to me like you've got to have a conversation with the head of the company or the head of the department first. You've got to say, look, here's how I'm looking at this. Here's how it structures. And here's what's keeping me from selling more of your ink.
Right. But he won't talk to me unless the second person's with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And, you know, we tried that conversation once, and she keeps interjecting. She doesn't listen.
Wow.
Because she's defending her stance.
And she's the one that's never been in this industry before, correct?
She's never been in industry. His is a brand new business.
Uh-huh.
And she's never gone out in his business and sold.
Then you've got to start with her. And you've got to say, help me understand the value to the company and to you of going out and taking all these readings of all these machines. And help me understand your goals so that I can be, you know, so that I can serve you better and help you achieve what you're trying to accomplish here. And maybe you could get her to come out and do like a half a day ride along with you. That might be the most informative of all, so that she can see what your time is spent doing and how little you get to actually propose and close a sale.
We propose that. She won't go out and ride with anybody.
Wow.
She refused something to steal. She just says that we're not working it right.
Hmm. But
she has no advice on how to work it correctly.
Hmm.
Well, so Lee J, if I could jump in here, do you think that he would be absolutely within his rights to say to this woman, you know what, I'm just not understanding and I want to be the best employee I can for you, so could we go have a discussion with the boss together? Because maybe that would help me.
She's done that, but she interrupts the conversation.
She's running
interference. Oh, so you have gone with her to the boss and tried to have a three-way conversation.
Yeah, the top two producers, myself and the person right behind me, we did that.
Well, look, I know times are tough and the economy is bad right now, but is this the kind of a job you want to lock yourself into with a contract?
I would say no to this point. You know, the problem is where do I, well, you don't know this, but where do I walk to? I mean, you know, I just walk away from what little bit of money I can make to nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing wrong with starting to look. Let's start there. And, and finding out what else is out there. Because in any negotiation like this, one of the things you always have to know is what we call your BATNA. And what that's an acronym for is your best alternative to a negotiated agreement, in this case, with her. Mm-hmm. So you've got to know going in, is the job market completely dried up? Or are there a couple of prospects that I might be able to apply for and have a good shot at? That'll change your approach when you go in there, because that's your alternative. That's your walk away. If you say to her, look, I just can't keep doing it the way you're making me do it, at least you don't want to say that unless you know you've already got backups there.
Right.
So
the advantage of being in sales, there's always insurance you can do. There's other sales can be done.
If you can sell, you can sell, Leroy. Yeah. And, you know, I'm talking to you. You sound like a really decent, charming guy.
Sharp guy.
And I just want you to know there's a whole world out there. There's Craigslist. There's, you know, Monster.com. There's lots of places where you can just, you know, start sniffing around. I think you sound highly employable to me. I don't want you to feel like you're trapped.
Well, I appreciate
and
that.
I would say, too, you know, if they're it sounds like maybe they're pressing you to sign this contract. I would think, you know, I'm giving you permission, Leroy, to say to them, you know what, I'm just not comfortable signing this contract yet. Yeah. I mean, if they really, you can garner a lot of respect by saying no to people.
And they might be more willing to change things the way you want to see them changed if you resist signing the contract.
Right.
Sometimes we don't get what we want until we're ready.
Yeah.
Really ready to walk away.
Yeah.
Not just posing, but ready to walk away.
And Leroy, as a salesman, you know every month you spend here is another month you're not building up new clientele in whatever you decide to go do next.
That's a great point right there.
Yeah. I mean, that's your opportunity cost. That's what you're losing every month you stay there. So do some investigation, do some research, and then go talk it over with her.
That sounds good. And, you know, I have to say it's my other half. My better half has told me the same thing you did about every month I wait.
She's pretty smart.
See? You just needed some outside people to say the same thing to you. So go, Leroy, go.
We are Agree With Your Wife Radio. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, Leroy.
Have a good day. Thanks for your help.
Bye-bye.
All right. But, you know,
Agree With Your Wife Radio. Well, you know,
you know the definition of an expert, though. Anybody who's at least 100 miles away. She's standing there right next to him saying the same thing, but we're on the radio and we're far away from him, so we're suddenly experts.
Exactly.
Agree With Your Wife Radio. I'm writing that one down. That's a pretty good one. Hey, listen, I've had a personal conflict this week.
Really? What's going on?
Can I get some talk it over advice, please?
Well, let me see. Let's look at our... Okay, pull up a chair.
Come on. Help me. Here's the deal. I'm more mad and annoyed and... I'm just mad and annoyed at American Express, okay? I'm just saying it. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. I have been a member of American Express since 1979, okay? That's how old I am. Anyway, I've always had a good standing account. I called them to get my tax papers from them, and they said, oh, you can get it online. And by the way, we have a new business card that you might want to have because it gives you all these perks. And so I heard the spiel and I said, you know what? I'll take that business American Express card. That's great. You send me that. In about, I don't know, a week, I got a letter from American Express saying, unfortunately, we cannot give you a business account because we can't verify your social security number. What?
Which they've had since you were like 12
years
old.
You don't exist?
I don't exist, I guess. You know, they can't verify my social security number. And the only way, this very form letter says, that I can get a business account is if I get the Social Security Administration in Washington to write them a letter on official stationery verifying my social security number. Now, you know what? I don't even really want this.
Yeah, didn't want it that bad.
You know what I mean?
But what's the name of this game? What are they after?
I just don't get it. And I called the woman up. I called up American Express and I explained it as I'm explaining it to you. And I said, you know, my feelings are hurt. I've been a really good, loyal customer, and you would do this to me? You're the one who asked me for this card in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
And what'd she say?
Well, she said she was very I caught her by surprise. Let me get my supervisor. Oh, my supervisor isn't here. Oh, hold on again. She put me on hold for 10 times.
No one says the word feelings to an American Express operator.
Flustered her.
So exactly. That wasn't in her script.
It was on no 3x5 card. So she put me on hold so much. When she came back, I said, look, here's my home phone number. I would like to know why I got this letter and why you think you don't have my social security number. Call me back. That was 5 days ago.
Wow.
I haven't heard
of it. You know what I would do, Diane? I would take the letter and I would take one of your existing statements and even a Xerox of your card that says member since 1979 and drop them in an envelope with a short letter that says, there seems to be some confusion here. You've had my social since 1979. Please clarify this and get back to me. And drop it in their lap and let them do something with it.
I just was offended,
yeah.
You know, and when you're offended, it's hard to talk it over with people, isn't it?
Wow,
it is.
That is
it
true.
Is. And, you know, one of the things to consider, and, you know, I'm all about giving people benefits of doubt where they can be found. In this case, it could be something as simple as the teletype operator, the database entry person, took your application, punched it into their computer and transposed a couple of the numbers in your social. I mean, it could be something that simple. So you know, give them some leeway that maybe it was just a clerical mistake of some sort, and figure out, how important this is to you.
Well, I'm offended.
I'm
sorry,
Diane.
I don't want their stupid smelly card.
And we don't want you to be offended, Diane. Nobody should ever treat our Diane like that.
I would let it go and not put any more effort into it. They lost.
Well,
their
that's what my husband said. So
oh,
see
okay. What.
Listen to your husband, radio. Hey, listen, before we go, I have to give you one more thing I saw in the news kind of recently.
Yeah.
Actress Valerie Bertinelli. She's
love
my
her.
New hero.
Sure.
She's my new role model. Mm-hmm. Do you know why?
I had such a crush on her when I was about 16. Oh,
yeah.
My.
I worked on her show. Jealous?
Jealous? I wish I'd known you then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Diane.
Have you seen her on the cover of People magazine?
Have not.
I bet you'd still
just
have a crush
saw it
on
in
her.
The supermarket.
Heard about
just
it,
saw,
haven't
oh, yeah.
seen it.
Yeah, she's almost 50 years old, and there she is posing in this little teeny weeny bikini because she lost all this weight. And I just think she looks great, and I don't know. I think
thank you, Photoshop.
She was 170 pounds.
Well, she's been doing the Weight Watchers thing.
And she lost like 40 pounds thing. Or something.
Yeah, wow. She's been like the Weight Watchers talk spokesperson.
Do you want to talk it over with her? Why are you so skinny? Why are you hurting my feelings? What do you need to say?
Why are you offending me with that little bikini?
Or is she inspiring you to come lay on the beach next to her? Because I would take a picture of that.
No, I would be the beached whale looking.
No,
nonsense.
You're adorable.
Come on, not our Diane.
No, I really do admire when people can step out of their usual box,
yes,
or the rut that they have gotten their life into and make a big fat change. And lose 50 pounds, go sit and talk it over with somebody who you don't really like, but you got to clear the air.
Mm-hmm. And I so wanted to say this to the 20-year-old who emailed us earlier in the show.
About the messy girl? Oh.
Do it. Let your mother's comment about you offend you enough to get out of your box. You're not a heavy set person.
Yeah.
Do something about it.
Yeah.
Get some real serious help and commit to it and change yourself.
You
look
know,
at Valerie Bertinelli for inspiration.
Yeah. How dare people say this is who you are? They don't have the right to determine who you are. Only you have the right to determine who you are.
And every day is a new day.
One day at a time. One day at a time.
That was her show, right?
Yeah.
Well, but then again, you know, when I look at her on the cover of People magazine, I do think about some of those older women who really should not be wearing the bikini on the beach. I mean, how do we talk it over with them, Lee J?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. I have a hard time with that. When I see a woman walking down the street with that... sorry, my kid brother calls it a front butt. Ooh. But that belly sticking out the front of the blue jeans, sticking out the bottom of the t-shirt. I so want to go up to her and say, you know, really, please, you know, I look at her and I just feel bad. I think, you know, her poor mother never taught her how to dress. But I don't know how to talk it over.
Look at her and thought that looked good.
All right, you guys are awesome. Thank you to all of our callers. Thank you, Lee J, Diane, Matt, Trish, Webmaster Pierce, and I'm Louise Planker. With that, Talk It Over is over.
But call us, Valerie.